This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You are tuned into the Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church podcast for the week. Well, you will hear the teaching and the preaching of the senior pastor of Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church, the Reverend Matthew L. Browning. This podcast is an extension of the ministry where the Word of God is magnified, Jesus is glorified, and understanding is fortified. After the message, information will be given about our church location, phone number, and how to obtain a copy of this message in its entirety. So now, let's join Reverend Browning with the Word of God already in progress.
Thank God for it. Amen. Psalm 138 and 7. You have heard it read in its entirety, but our focal point would be the seventh verse of Psalm 138. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. I'm going to use for a subject a title, Lord, I Need Revival. Lord, I Need Revival. Will you pray with us? Father, we thank you for another opportunity to hear from heaven. For every time we open up your word of God, whether it is collectively in the church, in our private study at home, we hear from you, Lord. And so, Father God, we thank you. As we cry out to you and we ask you, Father God, to send revival, not only just in our personal life, but collectively as a church, we are asking you, Lord, to send a revival. And we pray that those who are listening to us will ask the Lord to send a revival. Lord, we need revival. In the name of Jesus Christ do we pray. Amen. The psalmist has said, the Psalm of David, though I walk in the midst of trouble. And if the truth is told, all of us walk in the midst of trouble. That trouble is trouble that is being caused by other situations in our life or other people. Or that trouble is being caused by us. Because we can make our own trouble. Amen. Trouble don't always start with somebody bothering us. Sometimes start with us bothering somebody else or doing something we have no business doing, and it causes trouble. There's a difference between evangelism and revival. There's a difference between evangelism and revival. Revival and evangelism, although closely linked, are not to be confused. Revival is an experience in the church. Amen. It's an experience on the inside of the church, in the church. Not particularly talking about this church building, but it starts in the church. Evangelism is an expression of the church. It's an expression of the church. so that when revival happens on the inside in the church, then we express it by going out and telling others about what the Lord has done in our lives. So revival and evangelism is somewhat different. One preacher said to another preacher, asking him what he was doing, he said, "I'm holding revival." The other preacher looked at him and said, "Well, if you let it go, maybe we'll have revival. Maybe you need to stop holding revival." There are some misconceptions about the word revival. So revival, a misunderstood word. Used often, but often used wrongly. Revival is more than a series of meetings. Revival is not just going to church after church after church after church after church. That's not revival. Revival happens on the inside of you. And if you're just going to a series of meetings, that's all you'll be doing. It's burning up your gas, getting dressed up, going to church after church after church, and actually never experiencing revival. Does anybody need a revival? Yeah. Revival is specifically the business of Christians. People that are not saved cannot be revived. They can be born again, but they can't be revived. Amen. Listen, this thing is going to be a little intensive, so you got to put on your thinking cap. So when people come and when we have revival meetings, it is not specifically for those who are lost. But if they are in our midst, then what is happening in us will spark their curiosity about really who God is. So we understand that it's more than a meeting, amen? It has specifically to do with Christians. It has to do with bringing back to life. Because you can experience some things in your life that will kill the spiritual part of your life, amen? So when revival comes, then we want God to bring us back to life. Amen. It's almost like if you had somebody that was drowning in a swimming pool, and if you pulled them out and just looked at them, they eventually would die, right? Because you're just looking at that person, and they're just laying there and they're not breathing. No. What will you do is get down on your knees and you tilt their head back and you clear their air passage and you blow into their lungs, right? Right? And then they begin to breathe. And you said, "What happened?" "Well, I had to revive them." Isn't that right? Yeah. You got to be revived. And some of us have been living in the pool of this life. And we have been drowning in life. And what happens on Sunday morning is you get pulled out. Amen. But nobody blows in you. It's almost like coming to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you've been pulled out of the pool of life, and nobody blows into you the breath of God. Right? And the Bible said that man became a living soul. Said God, a molded man out of the dust of the earth, right? And he breathed into his nostrils. And then man became a living soul. The life that you're looking for is not in the people around you, but in the person that lives on the inside of you. I wish I had a few witnesses in here this morning. Because the things that you're going through, you can't always express to somebody else the stuff that you're going through in life. And really only God knows that you need a revival. And watch this. It is when you think you don't need a revival when you need a revival the most. Amen? So if you go around telling people, I don't need a revival, yeah, you need one. Those are the very people that need a revival, the people that think they don't need a revival. The revival is not what you do in your religious activities. Just because you are a preacher, just because you're a deacon, just because you sing in the choir, doesn't mean that you're revived. Just because you come to church don't mean that you're revived. Amen. It means that you're headed in the right direction, but you need more than just what you see. So revival is different. It means to bring back to life how you used to be and what God is doing in your life, right? I mean to teach this today. I don't mean to do anything other than do what God has told me to do. It has to do with the bringing back to life. Listen, revival is God at work restoring his church to health. It means that you're sick and you need to be restored back to health. How many of you go to the hospital because you're feeling good? You know, I feel good today. I think I'll just go to the emergency room. No, you go to the hospital when things are not right. Right? Some people look at you and say, you know, you don't look good. Amen? And you say, well, you know, I really don't feel good, right? And you say, well, something. And you begin to take your pulse and you take your whatever you do to try to find out what's wrong. Maybe you take something yourself and you, but nobody goes to the hospital and walk into the emergency room and say, hey, I feel good. I thought I'd just come to the hospital. No, men in little white suits will come and get you and put you in a long arm clothes and tie you in there, right, and take you to the floor where the mental patients are. Amen. No. You need revival when you sense that what used to be good to you, what used to make you get up in the morning, you stop doing. Isn't that right? Maybe your prayer life is not what it ought to be. And if you are a child of God, your prayer life will never be what it ought to be. Because it's something that you should be working on all the time. Right? Revival is God at work in the church, restoring his church to health. That is an acceptable definition if we understand that a healthy church is a soul-winning church. Revival must result in reaping. When you have revival, you reap something from having revival. It means that God begins to do something good in your life. He begins to restore the stuff that the devil tried to tear down. Any of y'all got some stuff the devil trying to tear down? And you know what he does? He takes care of the zappers in your life. See, what do you mean by that? Do you not have some zappers in your life? Some stuff in your life that just zap the life out of you that make you not feel like getting up? And you love to get up and go to that job, but something happened on that job that just zapped you and you just feel like standing home. You are a good candidate for revival. Amen? You need revival. Revival can be the experience of the whole body of Christ, a local church, or of one Christian. Really, revival starts with one person. Yeah. Revival has to start with you. Saying, Lord, first of all, saying, Lord, I need a revival. Yeah. Now. Revival doesn't come from specific preachers. Huh? Yeah. Because I know that some of you go to various revivals in this area because a particular preacher is preaching. If you go because a particular preacher is preaching, then you're really not seeking revival. Amen? Yeah, that's my preacher. I'm going to hear my preacher. Amen? And so when you do that, you're really not seeking revival. When you need revival, revival can happen in your front room, at home, by yourself. See, what we do is when we do that, we limit God to an atmosphere. And if God is not in our atmosphere, we say, Lord, what, something is not right. But God can be in any place at any time. God can be at home. He can be on your job. Revival can happen on your job, at home. It can happen in your Sunday school class. It can happen in your quiet time as you talk to God. That's when revival begins to happen. But stop looking for revival in a person. The only person you look for revival in is Jesus. Right? Jesus is the only person. So we understand that concept that revival has to start with us. The scripture shows us that God's people go through periods of spiritual renewal. You know, it's not like we got born yesterday and we're gonna just have a life of ease, life of comfort. Nothing will ever happen. No. People go through periods of spiritual renewal and periods of spiritual decline. Am I not right? Are there times when you just feel like, man, I'm just spiritually on top of the world? That it's just me and Jesus and everything is all right. I'm just on top. But are there times when you hit valleys low? When you don't feel like going to church? You don't feel like singing the songs of Zion? You don't feel like sitting there at that piano? You don't feel like directing the choir? I don't feel like preaching. There are times when we get the low points of our life. See, the problem with us as Christian people is that we are in denial. And we fooled everybody to thinking that you ought to be on top all the time. Amen. Well, if you were on top all the time, you wouldn't know how to deal with the valleys and the low points of your life. And listen, I don't know about you, but I thank God for the low points of my life. If I thank God for the low points of my life, then when I get on the mountaintop, I can really say, thank you, Lord. Because I remember when I was down low. I wish I had some witnesses in here that you've been on top, but then you've been down low sometimes too. Amen. Periods of spiritual decline. We might think of these times like waves and troughs or like mountains and valleys. The Christian life is one of constant conflict. Constant conflict. Because you are a do right person living in a do wrong world. Huh? Do I have any do right people in here? You are a do right person. You've been saved. The Lord has revived you, but you're in a world that affects you in a negative way. Amen. You know, you can go to work and you can feel all right while you're driving down the road. You can be listening to a gospel on the radio and stuff like that. And you walk into work and there he or she is. I wish I can get one witness. And all of a sudden, that person affects you in a negative way. I mean, you were cool, calm, and collective in the car. You were singing strong faith and you know that all of this and you were singing with the record and everything. But when you got into that atmosphere of negativity, it began to affect you in a negative way. And you say, God, what's going on? Well, it's the negative world trying to affect your positive attitude and outlook in Jesus Christ. And the thing that zaps us is that we don't know how to get back to where we need to be. So we start looking for tricks and things of that sort to get us back where we need. So we wait for a certain time of the year because we need revival. The Christian life is one of constant conflict. This is discouraging to some. Had hope to move on to heaven with ease. We are locked in conflict with the world. There are three things you got to deal with now. You got to deal with the world, right? As other people. You got to deal with the flesh. That's you. And then you got to deal with the devil, right? Now, some of it is the world. Other people and other situations, and some of it is the flesh, and some of it is you. How many of y'all dealing with you? See, when we come to church, a lot of times we don't want to deal with us. We want to deal with everybody else. Everybody else going to hell and I'm going to heaven. That's the way we think, isn't that right? But you got to deal with the flesh. There are some desires that ought not be desired that you got to kill in the flesh. Isn't that right? I wish I was talking to a true church now. No, I ain't got no problem with the flesh. I don't have any problem with the flesh. Anybody got any problem with the flesh? Anybody got any right? When was the last time you got so mad that you blessed everybody out? And I ain't mean in the name of Jesus. That's a situation with the flesh, right? Now I know some of you are so holy that you don't never have no problem. You'll never say nothing wrong. A bad thought never goes through your head. Nothing bad never comes out of your mouth. Amen. You better get up from inside that prison and move, because lightning gonna strike in a few minutes. No. Conflict with the world, with the flesh, and with the devil. A spiritual battle is raging all through the believer's life. The struggle with Satan, the battle against demonic powers. That thing has jumped on us again and again and again. You stop. How many of you ever stop? You stop trying to do it, but you find yourself doing it again. Ain't nobody gonna raise their hand. Ain't nobody saying, I ain't saying that, Reverend. How many of you fight the devil in your flesh, and you're fighting the flesh, and the same thing you were fighting, you found yourself giving in on it? Huh? Anybody ever did that? Well, I guess y'all don't believe in Romans 7, do you? When I want to do good, I wish I had some real people in here. When I want to do good, evil is always present. I wanted to do good. I wanted to say the right thing. I wanted to do the right thing, but you don't always find yourself saying the right things and doing the right thing, and you sure enough don't find yourself thinking the right thing. Isn't that right? Because you can be looking at a commercial about a hamburger, and I don't know what it got to do with a hamburger, but that thing can change the channels of your mind. Isn't that right? I thought this was about a Hardee's hamburger. I thought this was about some meat. It is about meat. Isn't that right? But they just see the world know how to spark your curiosity with things of the world, because the world know how we think. So as we're sitting there watching, isn't that right, TV, and the commercial comes on with the hamburger, amen, and you sitting there with your husband or your wife, and they looking at it, whatnot, and they just say, honey, let's go get a hamburger. Really, it wasn't a hamburger that sparked your curiosity for your hunger. It was what you saw in before you got to the hamburger. Yeah. If you want to mess with them, just say, what was the commercial about? Spiritual renewal wouldn't be necessary. We would continually grow closer to God, but that's not the case. There are ups and downs in our walks with the Lord. We experience time of intimacy and time of distance. That's why the Lord said, draw closer to me and I get close to you. Because there are times when we're distant from God. You know how a child of God ought to act, think, and speak. And you know that when you are being a child of God, and when you know when you're not, right? You know, listen. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and do what? Renew in me a right. Because you know, you can have the wrong spirit. And you know, it ain't got nothing to do with getting up on the wrong side of the bed. It's just you got the wrong spirit. How many of you got up and you just got up, you were in just a bad mood? That's spiritual warfare. So what you got to do is you got to go back, get on your knees, and say, Lord, I need you to change my attitude, change my mood, and Lord, come into my atmosphere and change my whole outlook. Listen, you got up, you didn't have no joy, you didn't have no peace, you didn't have no love, but you can go back to God and say, God, I need some joy, I need some peace, I need some love, and I need to show it on the outside what you're doing on the inside. Do I have a witness? Yeah. Because, you know, it's like coming to church. You know, every time we see that same person or stuff that they did to us come up again. Isn't that right? Yeah. I want you to look with me to Luke 22. Luke 22 gives us a perfect example for those of you that are super spiritual. You're super spiritual. And you know, I got everything together, Reverend. I got everything together. I don't need this teaching. I got everything together.
We hope you are blessed by the podcast. You are tuned into Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church podcast for the week on PrayCharlotte.com. But you have heard the teaching and preaching of Senior Pastor of Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church, Reverend Matthew L. Browning. This podcast is an extension of the ministry where the Word of God is magnified, Jesus is glorified, and understanding is fortified. Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church is located at 2901 Oneida Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28269, off I-85 and North Graham Street. Our order of services are as follows. Sunday, school, 9:45. Sunday worship service, 11 a.m. Monday, 7 p.m. intercessory prayer. Wednesday, Bible study, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. If you are interested in a CD of this message in its entirety, you can call our church between the hours of 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Monday through Friday at 704-599-1433. Again, that's 704-599-1433. Or you can mail your request at P.O. Box 16237, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28297. That's P.O. Box 16237, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28297. Or via email at mtvernonpr@bellsouth.net. Again, if this podcast has been a blessing to you, tell a friend to go online to PrayCharlotte.com and click on the podcast and enjoy the Word of God. On behalf of our pastor, Reverend Matthew L. Browning, be reminding that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it.